All right, I think we are live. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Boys and Brunch. This is the show where we expose everything going down on the timeline. And speaking of the timeline, if you're watching this on YouTube, we have the timeline split up into different sections. So if you want to, I don't know, listen to something else, one of the other topics that we have, then you can just jump straight to that. Speaking of the topics, today we're going to be talking about Lil Nas X and his new song, Montero, or Call Me By Your Name. Then we're going to jump into the whole Derrick Jackson drama. And then we're going to get into the Cinnamon Toast Crunch guy, which I think kind of flew by a lot of people, at least on our side of Twitter. But so that'll be an interesting conversation. And then we're going to end talking about this weird tweet about race play. So yeah, hopefully you guys have some liquor in your drinks, because we might need it at that point.
I got it right here, perfectly placed.
All right, so I'm Jared D. King, and I am joined by Marcus Haynes, and as you can see, Brandon Harris Williams is not joining us today, but we have a great guest host with us, Ty McKinney. What's going on, Ty?
Hi, everybody. Happy to be here.
Awesome. And I want to say hello to the people watching. Hey, Mama Shay, I see you're in the chat.
Hey.
Anybody else, if you're watching, you know, say hey, and let me know if you're here. So Ty, why don't you give us a brief overview of what you do and who you are, just so, because we talked about you, we put your name up in the chat multiple times, but yeah, I think just introduce yourself a little bit.
Okay, cool. Well, hello, everybody. My name is Ty McKinney. I am a multi-hyphenate artist. I am a singer, songwriter, actor sometimes, video producer. I do a lot of things, but mainly singing is the thing that I do right now.
Awesome. And when we last talked, you had mentioned doing some kind of a show or something. How did that go?
It went well. The foundation, it was for this nonprofit in Detroit called the Ruth Ellis Center, that specializes in helping queer people of color, specifically Black people in Detroit. And I did like a little Motown performance for them. They really liked it though. It was nice. And I got paid. It was nice. It's nice to get paid in the pandemic. It's nice.
Absolutely. I hear that. What are you drinking today?
I am drinking a classic mimosa. Because, nice. You know, I had, as I said before we got online, I had a night of debauchery. So I'm just trying to keep it a little bit chilled today because I have to work tomorrow. So this is what I'm drinking today.
Understood. All right. Marcus, what's going on with you? How is what's going on? Give us an update.
Oh Lord, it's been quite the week. I tried to uninstall the social medias. That didn't work well because everything went to shit. I had a my vehicle has decided that it's just done. So yay for that.
Oh no.
So yeah, I'm kind of trying to deal with that and trying to find some level of productivity amongst the foolishness, but we'll see how it works.
Oh goodness. Mm. Okay. Well, what sorry to hear about your car and any other foolishness you're dealing with. What are you drinking today?
So I mixed up some things that were in my cabinet. Some Bacardi, some apple juice. It tastes good. We'll see, you know, how good I feel as we continue on.
So homemade apple martini?
Sure, let's go with that.
Good. Yeah, I think for me, you know, it's just been, I don't know, it's been a little bit of a stressful week. It's been a little bit emotionally taxing. And that's kind of why I have coffee today. I'm not liquoring it up because, you know, my nerves, like, I don't need anything extra on top of that. I mean, the caffeine is bad enough. So there's that. But we also had the Gorgeois brunch last week. And yeah, I think we had a great time. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the after show. But I want to jump into these topics because we have some crazy things to talk about today. And I think we might as well just start off with the thing that everybody's talking about, which is Lil Nas X. So he released this video, Montero, / Call Me By Your Name. Mm-hmm. I think we can just have an open conversation about this because, I mean, I don't really need to direct so much because I think we're probably all full of opinions at this point. Mm-hmm. But I would like to start with Marcus and get his thoughts on the, let's start with the song itself. Let's not talk about the video just yet. Let's talk about the song. Do you like the song?
I mean, well, I'm pretty sure people saw me on the Twitter sphere saying, you know, tweeting Lil Nas X several times. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, where is this song? I was not disappointed when I got it. As a matter of fact, I was the opposite. I really enjoyed the song. It's probably my favorite song of his thus far. So, yeah, I'm very happy about the song.
Okay. Cool. What do you think, Ty? Is this your cup of tea?
It really is, actually. I along with Marcus, was waiting on the song to come out because I'm like, okay, you know, Old Town Road had its time. You know, his EP had its time. And I'm like, what is this artistry going to be moving forward? Because everybody just thinks he's like this super, super one-hit wonder. But then when the song came out, I was just like, okay, we got the Spanish guitar. We got this like nice, catchy melody. And I was just like, and then my favorite part actually is the second verse. When he's talking about, I want to shoot a child in your mouth while I ride it. I was like, move. I'm here for that.
Very much so.
So I really liked it. I literally played the song when it dropped at midnight, like 5 times straight. And I think me and Marcus were having like a dialogue on Twitter.
Oh, really?
About it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I first listened to the song with the video and I had only listened to it once. Mm-hmm. I think I'm probably on the opposite. I'm not going to say it's bad. I don't think it's a bad song. It's okay. I think maybe if I listen to it a few more times or if I'm like out at the bar or something and they just keep playing it, then it'll eventually catch on for me. But yeah, that's kind of where I sat with the song. But as far as the video is concerned, how is that for y'all? Because a lot of people have opinions on the visuals that went along with this. And so how are y'all feeling? Like, Ty, why don't you start? You got that smirk on your face.
I knew that was coming. So this is why I don't, whenever like an artist does like the song release and the video release at the same time, I don't watch the video first because I want to hear the song by itself. Because when you have the visual image, like you watch that first, you automatically attach that to the song. Right. So like it just happens. So I'm like, nah, I can't do that. So the video, I thought it was very creative. It was very out there. It's very on brand for him. I like that he, you know, referenced religion and Greek mythology and all that stuff. It wasn't my cup of tea because I'm a very literal person. So if your song is about like, you know, you messing around with a guy in different area codes on a plane, like, you know, getting jet lagged, I want to see that. Like, so that's just me as a storyteller. Mm-hmm. But he goes for the, like, you know, eye catching, you know, get people talking controversy route. And that's him. So it was like, this is not really my cup of tea. Like, but you know, do you, honey, do you. You slide down that pole and the briefs and the red braids and you do it. That was my favorite scene. I was like, you better slide on the pole to hell. He's like, if you say go to hell, well, we gonna go to hell. We gonna do it in style. Oh,
Jesus.
And that was my part. I was like, all right, okay.
Marcus, how do you feel about the cup? My sense is that you probably feel similarly. Am I correct in that assumption?
Actually, no. I enjoyed the video. I think it is on brand for him because, you know, he usually does that whole, you know, like real fantastical type thing with his videos. Once I watched it and like actually paid attention to it, I was like, okay, I see what you're doing. I get it. Mm-hmm. I'm rocking with it or what have you. I'm always a fan of religious critique in like media and stuff. So I was very down for that. And I'm very much here for how he has trolled all these people and they are so upset about it because they're constantly giving him views. You know, he even put out the little shoes. They're supposed to be being sold with a drop of blood and the people heads are spinning on their shoulders. And I'm like, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. good. See,
the shoes, though, the shoes. That's where I was like, look, I'm all for, like, you know what, controversy. You dish out what they dish back to us. I'm all for that.
But we'll get to the shoes in a moment.
The shoes.
But I do think, like, with this video, it was both, for me, it was both, like, unsettling, but at the same time, it was very interesting to watch. Like, the visuals and stuff were really colorful, and it was just, like, a lot of interesting stuff going on. I think it did its job as an art piece. I think I only watched it one time, but my initial impression was that it was, like, shock value just for shock's sake. And the message kind of flew over my head. So I'm glad that I kind of got the explanation of what it was really supposed to mean afterwards. And I think I would like to read what people have been saying about this online, basically to kind of, like, if anybody was in the space that I was about trying to figure out what the heck this is, what are we talking about here? You know, somebody had posted a screenshot of a YouTube comment saying, in case you didn't understand the vid, Nas is tempted by the snake in the Garden of Eve, which symbolizes his sexuality. When he gives into the snake and acts on his sexuality, he is persecuted and hated on. Mm-hmm. He tries to go to heaven, but it's just out of reach, and he plummets to hell. At the end, he seduces the devil and takes his crown, which is him acknowledging that he'll always be seen as the devil by some, so he might as well embrace it.
Yeah, and that's what I liked about it. I liked that it was basically like, okay, you know, I'm going to hell. Okay, well, I'm going to take that power, and then, you know, I'll be the king of hell. And I was like, do that. I'm here for that. I'm here for that. So, but the shoes, though.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess for me, it was just really, I don't know. Like, I get the message. I get the message, but part of me is just like, I'm just not comfortable with it. I mean, I think that is the point of art, and that's why I say I feel like it did its job as an art piece. It's supposed to push boundaries. It's supposed to make you feel something or feel a little bit uncomfortable and investigate what those feelings are. So I get that. But it's just like, it's a little much. It's a little much.
I feel like that's the point, though. I feel like he wants it to be like a little, I feel like it wants it to be like unsettling for people, because that's the best way to start conversations. And yes, that comment right there is very much it. Like, it's all a troll from the rollout, you know, to the video, to the shoes. It's all designed to make people uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is. And he's doing his job.
Right. I just want to read what he had said specifically. He basically wrote a letter to himself, and he, I don't know whether he did this in notes or something and, like, screenshotted it, but it's,
I think he did notes. I think he did it.
But he said, I'm not going to read this whole thing. Let me just see. I know we promised to die with the secret, but this will open doors for many other queer people to simply exist. You see, this is very scary for me. People will be angry. They'll say I'm pushing an agenda, but the truth is I am. The agenda to make people stay the F out of other people's lives and stop dictating who they should be. So basically where he's coming from with this. But my question is, and let me pull these up, because we got these shoes. Let me just add these in. Hold on. This restream is doing something different, so I had to read a new screen. So I'm sorry, y'all. Just give me a minute.
Give him a minute.
So we got these shoes that people are mistakenly thinking that he had joined with Nike to put these shoes out. But Nike released a statement that they were not involved in these, that basically it was him collaborating with, I believe it was a company called Mischief or something, and they created this demonic pair of sneakers. And apparently it has one drop of blood in the soul or something like that. One drop of human blood in the soul. My question for y'all is, what does this have to do with his message?
I think it has to do with the shock value. like, because you know you have the pentagram on the shoe. It's all about them, like, okay, if I'm going to be the king of hell, going to hell, then we're just gonna, that's gonna be the brand. I'm gonna be the devil. So I can see how that, like, it goes with this whole theme, but it's like, we ain't gotta have pentagrams on the shoes. We ain't gotta do that. We can just have red and black shoes. Why we gotta have the pentagram on it? And I don't think human blood is, I don't think they're actually using human blood. That's just like for shock value. But I think that's the thing. It's all shock value.
I mean, it's continuing to embrace what the end of the video embraced. Like, you have been saying that I am demonic. You have been saying that I'm going to hell. You have been saying I'm going to bust hell wide open, you know, probably all of his life. And now that I'm like, okay, well, you know what? Since it seems like I'm doomed to do it anyway, I might as well just embrace. I might as well do this, and I might as well just, you know, make the best out of it. And it's just funny to me that now that so many people are upset. It was like, but you said this. Like, this is what you were wishing for his entire life, and now you're mad. That ain't how it worked.
Yeah. So my thing is, like, I feel like your message was complete in the video. And now I feel like this is now something else. This is now, you know, you're trying to grab some money on top of it. And I get it. You got to get paid. But do you want gay people walking around with a pentagram now? Or now we're all down with the devil? What is the main goal here? Because I mean, like, I personally don't get now let's walk around with a pentagram on.
Well, not everybody is gonna, you know, like embrace it anyway. Like, of course we know that not everybody's gonna buy the shoes for like $1,000. But I feel like the people who would are the people who have that same sort of mindset that he has. That, you know what, I'm going to embrace. It's no different from I can't say that, but it's no different from people who like reclaim terms, like people who walk around here proudly calling themselves, you know, the F word, what have you. Like, you know, you've been throwing this at me for this long. I'm going to embrace. I'm going to make the most out of it, and you're just gonna have to deal with it now.
Yeah. I do agree. I think it's definitely his way of like, this is, I'm choosing to be myself. This is who I am, and if you feel the same way, like, as far as like, this is how I'm going to express myself, then yeah, I'm here for you. You know, that's what it
got
is.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. LT Willio saying it's not that deep. And I mean, I guess.
I don't think it's that deep. It's just a pentagram. Really, it's just a pentagram. Really. That's what I was saying.
And I'm pretty sure if you like the design of the shoes, I'm pretty sure the thing comes off. Just take it off. Just take it off the shoe string.
Just take it off. But all that to say, like, I'm just really glad that we have a black queer artist who is chocolatey, who is just not giving any, you know, F's about himself, and he's embracing himself, and he's freeing people. He's freeing me. Shoot, I was singing that whole second verse, like, constantly, like, on Friday when it came out. And I was like, I love this song because I'm not having to, like, switch in pronouns, like, sing if I'm listening to a female singer and, you know, relating to that song. Like, this is a male singer of my hue, and he's from where I'm from in Georgia, and he's singing about dudes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How can I not stand that, you know?
The moment. Right. The moment.
Right.
The moment. The moment. It's the iconography for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I hear that, and I'm with y'all with that, and you know, I am glad that we have that kind of we have some representation. I won't say we have that kind of representation because that's a little bit too far for me personally. But thank you, Lil Nas, for being you and for doing that. I don't know how far I can rock with you if you're gonna keep going down the Satan route. I just, you know, but. But I get it. But real quick, before we move into our next topic, I do want to let you guys know about our Patreon. We have our Discord chat where we have all of the gorgeois is in there chatting it up every week. And we have a great time in there. And we also have our after show, Splitting the Bill. You get access to that. So I urge you to click the link in the description below to jump into the Patreon and become a member. And help us grow this community that we've got. So our next topic, we're going to talk about Mr. Derek Jackson. Yeah. So let me just give y'all, a quick rundown of what has been going on. Okay. Just in case you were living under a rock. Okay. So he first confesses to cheating. And he was known for criticizing Pastor John Gray. He was known for putting out a video criticizing Pastor John Gray for cheating on his wife. And now he's cheated on his, you know, now he's putting out this video of him cheating on his wife to his viewers. Derek Jackson is a relationship coach, very well known, apparently. No shade. But yeah, so that's why he felt like he had to reach out to his audience and try to speak about that. He gave the whole story of his breakup and reconciliation. And there was a whole story with God at the center of that. And then he did a follow-up reaction video of the video that he posted. And he spoke in third person. And then he released his book, Heal Together. Let me see if I can get the image up on the screen. Hold on. No, it's acted stupid. Hold up. Because I had all of these up here. All right. Well, anyway, I'll show y'all the, you can Google it. You don't need to see the, but basically it's him and his wife on the book cover. And yeah, the title of the book is Heal Together. Now, I just want to ask you guys your thoughts on this situation. Why don't you start us off, Marcus?
First of all, it's straight nonsense. And it's really not even that surprising to me, if I'm 100% honest, because a lot of these people who, you know, claim to be the relationship gurus, like I've seen so many different iterations of this man on different timelines, and they're all trash. Like, they're all trash. They all have like running from sexual assault cases. They're all like serial cheaters. They're Steve Harvey, which is also bad. So it's just like, I don't even know why y'all even ask these people's opinions, because they're all trash. So this is just another one for the trash heap.
Do you feel similarly, Ty?
I do. I agree with everything Marcus just said. Because I remember first seeing his face or whatever, like his like car videos that he was doing on Facebook. And I was just like, okay, here's just this handsome Black man talking about relationships, and he's using his like attractiveness to try to sell something. And I'm like, okay, yeah. You and everybody else trying to sell something because they fine, mm-hmm. whatever. But it was just the whole sit down with his wife, and just like that whole thing playing out. I was like, sis, you got white. First of all, they got you in here in your bonnet. He ain't right for that. Number two, like, you know, all look, we love the bonnets. We understand, you know, historical reference for bonnets, but still, come on. But it's just like he having you looking stupid, and you taking it. And it's just, and the fact that there's so many people who are looking up to this person, I'm like, what experience or what have you, what know-how do you have to be giving advice about relationships when you can't even salvage your own?
Absolutely none.
Yeah. I think that was the biggest thing. It's like, you know, it's just a shock for a lot of people who may have followed him. And it's just like, okay, so now you're a hypocrite because you're talking about, you know, relationships, and then you can't even be in your own relationship correctly.
Yeah. you know? Can't even stay. You can't even stay home.
I do want to correct you guys, because it's not a bonnet. It's a helmet of helmet of justice or whatever that was.
Not the helmet of justice. Lord. I did see that. I saw that. And I was just like, ma'am. Well, we're not going to do that.
So while what she said was funny, we are not laughing at her necessarily, because there's a lot of stuff. You know, I'm speaking for us, but I, you know, I think you guys would agree that you know what she said was a little funny, but there's a lot that goes on into this, and I want to play a TikTok that somebody showed that kind of lays it out. So let me put this up on the screen.
Okay.
When her husband responds that she's not wearing a bonnet, she's wearing a hat, he leaves a laughing emoji. A lot of people expressed concern for his wife in the comments, so he tags his wife and comments, "Blink twice if you need help, sis, LOL." Once again, this is called minimizing. He's trying to pretend that everything's all hunky-dory on their side. They're just joking and laughing together. Well, let's see how she's doing.
How prepared are you to stand on the spoken word of God and to proclaim victory over sin? And I spill the blood of the enemy. You see a bonnet. I see the helmet of salvation.
Again, he has convinced her that they are fighting together against the evil that has tried to infiltrate their marriage, and that that is the actual problem.
All right, so we got that.
Wait, I see that. I didn't see that. I had to pour another one up. That was too much.
Oh, you didn't see that?
I did not see that. Wow. Oh, sis.
Yeah. Yeah. So there were, are y'all there? Okay. I thought we got it. We got a little skip there, but yeah, Marcus, why don't you give us a reaction to that? What do you think about like what his wife Danaya is going through with this situation? It seems kind of sad, actually.
It is. There's no kind of about it. It is, because it's just like, for me, this still kind of connects back to the previous thing, because it's, you know, we get mad at Lil Nas X for sort of like kind of pushing back against this religious doctrine that's been forced on people. But this is what he's pushing back against to an extent. Because Look at this woman sitting up here talking about the helmet of salvation and talking about fighting a spiritual war against her husband cheating ass. Like, what? Like, what? You got this woman out here looking like she's reading off cue cards, like looking like Olivia when she was captured in whatever season of Scandal that was, holding up the newspaper trying to read with her hair dismayed. Like, what are you doing, bro? And I'm sorry, like, he ain't that fine. And I refuse to believe that he's that good.
No. Oh, Ty, because it sounded like you knew what the helmet of salvation was. What part of that did you not see?
Wait, what?
I saw like the I saw the helmet of salvation and those jokes, but I didn't see the comments like that he was making and that she pointed out. Like, he's like basically laughing at her too with the rest of social media, and I was like, that is so messed up. That is your wife. Like, they're literally getting on her more so than him because she's the one that's staying.
Yeah.
Like, how is that? How are you being her husband and you're allowing all this to happen? I was like, you don't love her. You don't care for her. And it is, and someone said Stockholm Syndrome in the chat. It's giving hardcore Stockholm Syndrome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think, you know, it's really sad. Like what you guys said, it's just really sad what she's had to deal with and what she's going through. Obviously, there are some issues that she's dealing with, and I hope that she gets help for that, because he seems to be a lot more mentally aware than maybe she does. And he definitely seems to kind of hold some kind of a power. I'm not saying it's a definite, because I don't know their situation like that. Mm-hmm. But based on what we've seen, based on the way that, you know, her just coming back to this and her whole mindset around the Christian element of a marriage, it's just very troubling. And I hope that she gets, I hope that she talks to somebody who can kind of help her through that and get her away from Derek Jackson. Cause that's not cool.
She needs some friends, some real friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what she needs.
And you know, it's a shame because there are a lot of jokes that are being said about her, not so much about him. And I think that his following went up. It's just, you know, it's just very strange. It's just very strange. And then to think that at the start of this, like, the only reason he said anything was really to kind of get these book sales up. Because now, you know what I'm saying? Like, now he's, at least that's what it looks like to me. You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, to quote Offset, you know, they do anything for clout. Just gotta say it. People will do anything for clout. So you gonna use your broken marriage to sell some books, and letting your wife be a casualty in the process, and you know,
yeah,
that's your business.
I can't help but laugh because that's my favorite go-to. I feel like I was probably going to say that somewhere in this conversation.
Let me go to these comments. Mama Shay is saying, I want whoever her pastor is to call her up and tell her that that's not God.
That is not of God.
I know the pastor saw it. If she's part of the flock, the pastor needs to step in. I agree with you there. LT Willio is saying she even posted on IG how she was insecure and had issues with men. He probably targeted her and groomed her.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it.
And he's saying because he has her thinking this is all in the fight for their love through God. There were also some comments about her. Yeah, go ahead, Marcus.
I would say I actually want to bring up what Focus just said, because that's why I am. Like, we would think that the pastor would step in for this liaison, but no. For a lot of these pastors, this is exactly right. The husband is the head, you fall in line, and if your husband is going astray, it's something that you haven't done, so you need to do better to try to keep your husband. So I don't know how much good the pastor stepping in really would do, to be honest.
That's very fair, because if the shoe was on the other foot, it would be hell. It would be hell on earth. It would be like, she is everything but a child of God, and he's like, I deserve to leave you and leave you destitute and just broken because you went out of my house, you slept with another man. Like, no, it would have been just hell. So,
Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, I think you make good points there. I think also there were some IG posts that she had made talking about how she didn't like her dark skin or what was it? She was maybe stalking other women or really paying attention to like in graphic detail about what they did in porn and all that stuff. So, yeah. Ty, if you missed it, I mean,
that's a mess. I don't get in straight nonsense, as Marcus said earlier. I truly don't get in straight nonsense. It's actually a blessing to not, because the only reason why I knew about it is because my straight counterparts on social media were talking about it. Because I was like, who that man in the car? Like, I didn't even know he had that much of a following until all of this like blew up. But
I ain't never seen that man before in my life. I was Kiki Palmer, like, sorry to this man.
Oh, man. All right. So I think we're ready to run into this next topic. But I want to explain the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Shrimp guy. Because this is just a wacky story. Mm-hmm. And it takes a turn. So let's pull this up. Let me see if I can pull this up. Here we go. So here is the original tweet. Maximize that. He says, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, why are there shrimp tails in my cereal? This is not a bit. So as you can see, he has a bag open of Cinnamon Toast Crunch on the table and what looks like shrimp tails that were inside the bag. So he had that. Then he tweeted constantly about this that day. I read an article where it said it was like 70 some odd tweets that day. So he was really just milking all the attention from this.
Mm-hmm.
General Mills said it's just unprocessed sugar or something like that. Something like some unprocessed sugar or something. But then they offered to test it. And after some arguing, because he didn't want them to take the box and then destroy the evidence, and then he had them, you know, they agreed to send him an envelope. As of right now, he's waiting for the envelope to then send a piece of it. But then he also has a lab that has agreed, I guess because of the publicity that this has gotten, has agreed to test it for free. So he's going to do both things. So we haven't gotten an update on anything yet. I just checked this morning. But what are your thoughts about this whole, what are your thoughts about this whole thing? Like, do you think he was being like dramatic? Like what's the deal? Or did you think this was a funny story? Go ahead, Ty.
I thought, first of all, I can never eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch again because that just looked really weird. So I really thought that from the beginning of the story, that this is odd. There's something wrong. General Mills is trying to like not really take accountability for it, And so he was like, okay, since y'all ain't gonna do nothing about it, really gonna do something about it, I'm gonna go off on Twitter, because, you know, that's what everybody does nowadays. Now, when the flipped script, when the script had flipped, when the script had flipped on him and he got started to get dragged, that was like, oh, karma is here. She's here. She's coming to collect her things.
You're going to get to the script flipping in just a moment, but I just want to ask Marcus his thoughts on just the initial impression on all of this craziness that's been going online.
So my feelings was hurt because Cinnamon Toast Crunch, because Cinnamon Toast Crunch is my favorite cereal. Like, there's literally a box of it on top of my refrigerator right now. So I was like, what? I gotta stop eating this shit because they got fucking, stuff rolled around in the packaging? Oh no! Oh no! Oh no! So that was just like my whole thing at first. I was like, man, this ain't good.
Yeah, I'm looking at the comments. Mama Shay is saying Twitter had decided amongst themselves that a mouse had gotten into one of the bags of sugar or flour that was used, and that was the mouse's stash. She's saying that there was mouse poo, shrimp tails, and string. I didn't see any string. I saw him mention there were some like black things at the bottom of the bag. Whether or not that's mouse poo, I don't know. whether that was just some more unprocessed sugar, you know. I don't know. I do think it's crazy to see this. The picture looks genuine. It doesn't look photoshopped, and it doesn't look, I mean, at least to my eyes, I'm not really good at telling whether stuff is photoshopped or not, unless it's, you know, if it's a good job. Mm-hmm. But he could have just thrown some stuff on the table and thrown a couple shrimp tails on the table and said, hey, you know, so.
Focus. The box is half gone. That's what distresses me. Like, I only ate half of the box before I saw this.
Right. Yeah. So, and it doesn't look like processed sugar to me. Now, have you guys ever had something weird in a package or in something that you have eaten or that you have tried to eat? Has that ever happened?
I don't know if it would be necessarily be sort of weird, because I feel like that's kind of bought the course. But I bought some cheap canned vegetables once, and there was like, you know, like a leaf and some twigs and stuff in there. I don't know if you consider that weird because it's vegetables, so I guess. But let's get through it. What?
Yeah.
That's weird. No, not me, because I'm very much a picky eater. I'm very if I even see a hair, I'm already like, if it's not of my own hair, I'm like very much like, nah.
Yeah, you're good.
But I'm still stuck on this twig though.
Yeah, if you get like cheap canned vegetables or like cheap vegetables in general, like some of them, they don't go through the best processing thing. So it's something that I've seen before. Like, people have like, you'll figure out a scam or something up in the thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you should eat it, but I'm just saying, like, it's...
Right. The worst thing that I think I've seen is probably like, you know, you've got a feather or something on some chicken. I always go back to chicken.
Oh yeah.
But like, I don't like, you know, like a feather that you got to pluck out of some chicken or something, like, or whatever. I'm not feeling that. But I have had, I don't know if you guys know about like these cookie bars. I used to eat like these oatmeal raisin cookie bars.
Yeah.
And I remember biting into one, and there was this long twig in the middle of it. And I was like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do with this? Cause this is not. And like, so vegetables, twigs, yes. Cookie bars, like baked goods. Where's the twig coming from? Like, why did I have to bite the twig? I don't get that. So that was messed up. There was something else. I remember I bought a burger from McDonald's, like one of their cheap hamburgers. Mm-hmm. And I bit into it, and there was a bread clip in the hamburger. I was like, well, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, why? It was just it's so off-putting when you see that stuff. So yeah, I get him being enraged or just really annoyed or whatever. But the story did definitely take a turn. So now I want to, let me see if I can pull up some of the things that people have been saying. Let me pull this up. So now he's had like coworkers coming up and saying stuff like, ha ha ha, I quickly deleted my subtweet yesterday and it said, oh no, I can't follow the latest viral saga because I was blocked in 2014 because I was not gracious enough after a surprise threesome, but before I was told to be careful or I would never work in this town again. Somebody else had said, he's a manipulative, gaslighting, narcissistic ex-boyfriend who once told me he was surprised I hadn't killed myself because my life was so worthless. And then, you know, you've got a couple other people saying he's unprofessional, lied to my face without flinching. You know, a guy claiming that he found his podcast, he stole his podcast idea. And yeah, so it's just, you know, and they, now the term for this I've learned is milkshake ducking. Have y'all heard of that?
No, I was educated on this topic as well in the story. Because I was like, what is that?
I have just learned that it means basically, you know, you find something really interesting that you think is harmless, like, and it's really just an example. There's no like real thing to like pin this against. There's no milkshake duck meme or anything. But just for example, I guess, is like, you see a duck drinking a milkshake and then you find out that the duck is racist. And so it turns from something innocent into something like, oh, now we got to be serious about that. Mm-hmm. So now people are saying he has been milkshake ducked really fast.
Oh yeah. That happened really fast. I was like, first of all, you Topanga's husband. So that's already some backstory right there.
And right.
And then having all these women like just come out like, in droves and are like, yeah, no, he sucks. Like, he's trash. Like, he's ultimately trash.
Absolutely. Marcus, I feel like you have something to say.
No, I'm shook because I did not know that this story took this type of turn. Like, I legitimately just thought we were going to end up talking about the Cinnamon Toast Crunch and that, well.
Right. It just completely went left.
Yeah.
And like you said, Ty, this is Topanga's husband, but let me just read.
Like, like actual Topanga? Like, Bumi's
yeah,
Topanga?
Topanga. Right.
But let me just end this off with this. So in the Vox article that kind of broke it all down, it says Karp is married to Danielle Fishel, AKA the actress who played Topanga in Boy Meets World and who last year did sponsored content for Cinnamon Toast Crunch. That Karp had once been a regular on a podcast called Pistol Shrimps Radio. So he's married to Danielle Fishel. She did a sponsorship for Cinnamon Toast Crunch. He was a regular on Pistol Shrimps Radio and it all just comes full circle. It just seems like the perfect storm of coincidences.
Yeah. I was like, this is too odd. This is too odd for me. But again, white people's nonsense. White people's nonsense. I straight folks nonsense, white folks nonsense is like, I like to keep my
Well,
feet.
I mean, look, we gotta throw it in there sometimes, I guess. You know?
Oh no, sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's good to just watch. I'm like, ooh, y'all crazy. Y'all got issues. Y'all be talking about that.
Anything else to say about this, Marcus?
He's speechless, huh?
He's speechless.
I have nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
Oh, man. Okay. So, yeah, Mom Shay says something is fishy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice pun on the words. But yeah, I think we're going to move into this last topic, which we're going to be talking about race play. Fun. Let me see if I can pull up the tweet. I'm not going to actually share the picture of Lepa's associated with the tweet. But this is what somebody had said. So let me pull this up and let me see if I can maximize that for you guys. So he says, I got to confess, one of my biggest fantasies is to attend a race play retreat and be auctioned.
The hell? Jared,
It was just the weirdest. It was the weirdest thing that I came across. And I, honestly, I don't think that this was, you know, to be honest, I don't think this was a huge conversation on Twitter. But we have had moments where we talked about it on Twitter. I mean, like, even with, like, Doja Cat. You know, first of all, this guy's at is Latino sub white Dom. So I don't even think this is a black guy saying this. So it's just, it's weird. So for y'all that, you know, if you don't understand what we mean by saying auctioned, basically it's like a slave auction. Like you go to a race play retreat, and the pictures that were associated with this tweet was, you know, there was this Confederate flag in the back. There are a bunch of white men standing down below the stage, and they brought a black guy up on stage and they were auctioning him off. Like, it was really strange. It was really weird. It was really weird. I just want to know, what are your initial thoughts about this when you see the tweet and everything? Ty, why don't you start us off?
I'm trying to be censored and not drop any explicit words because we're on YouTube. But what the hell? That is disturbing. That is sick. That is, something's wrong with you. Something's literally wrong with you. Why would anybody, and this is I've heard this whole like race play sort of topic in certain circles. I don't understand what is the desire to be, you know, depicted as that. You can be a submissive and dominant. You can do BDSM without the race play. Why incorporate that into the sex? Why? That's not needed.
Yeah.
It's not.
Marcus, what are you feeling?
Oh, so many things. What Mama Shay said really is what just takes me over the edge. Like, so at least according to your username, you know, I don't know this man from Adam. According to your username, you're not black. But your fantasy is to pretend to be black and to pretend to be degraded as a black person. Nah, bro. Nah, absolutely not. Nah, that's some bullshit. That's some bullshit to the hottest.
Yeah, no. I mean, I will agree with you there. I think it's a lot nuts.
It's a lot. It's a whole lot.
Yeah, but you know, I had brought up the question, and like, you know, like, should we? When we consider race play, and specifically when I'm talking about it from the sense of a black man saying, you know, I want you to do this, this, and this, and call me this, this, and this, should we be sex positive about that? I mean, and I guess maybe we can go into the discussion about what sex positivity means. Because to me, sex positivity means, you know, that might not be for me, but you go ahead and do you. So I'm curious if that falls into that realm, or is this like, should this be outlawed?
I'm going to go on the fact of being it outlawed. I mean, you know, do what you do. That's your bedroom. I have no qualms about what you do in your bedroom. But again, when you incorporate something as horrible as slavery, that has traumatized generations of black people, and you want to incorporate that into your bed, I think you need to go unpack that and on somebody's couch and get to the root of that, because that's a problem. I don't care. It's a problem. No, absolutely not.
Yeah. Marcus, how do you feel about that?
Same. Like, when you include race, like, it complicates everything. It complicates literally everything. You cannot exist, in this space without dealing with race, especially when it's not yours. No. I get it. As someone, you know, who dances around in fetish circles, I get, you know, being sex positive and wanting to sort of embrace different aspects of things. But no, once you start including race, that complicates matters. And particularly because the people who include this race aren't being like, hey, you know, you can only do this in the bedroom. They allow these folks to do this stuff all everywhere. And that's what leads to the larger issue that starts affecting people like me. So no, absolutely not. No, okay. Outlaw.
So just back that last line up for me, because my rebuttal was going to be about it not affecting anybody outside of the bedroom. So if you could just restate what you had just said so I can be clear on that.
Because so say a lot of these people like who embrace this sort of race play, let me not even go start with the race play. Like from my experience in fetish circles, those are usually things where you have to sort of set boundaries. You have to be able to say like, okay, this is what this is. This is how we do this here. You know, this is how we're going to move throughout this space. Not everybody does this. And I feel like particularly when we get into race play, we're not setting these boundaries. And this is how you get into these race playist, just plain out being racist. And I've seen this happen in circles, and it's just like, absolutely not.
Okay. Mama Shay is asking you, Marcus, or
yeah, I'm reading it.
Saying, sounds like it's okay as long as it's not allowed outside of the bedroom. I wouldn't say that Marcus would say it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely not. But even if we're going to try to give us a sex positive spin, which personally I know, but even if that's what we're going to try to circle for, because we're going to say like, okay, you know, let people do what they do. We need to at the very least say that. For me personally, no, it's not okay nowhere. But if I could even begin to try to meet you halfway, at the very least, you can't take it outside the bedroom.
Gotcha. Okay. I mean, personally, I would never. I think that is just way beyond the pale. So let me just be clear, because I am definitely just playing devil's advocate and trying to have the full conversation about that. Because I just think it's an interesting conversation to have. It's like, where do we draw the line with sex positivity? You know what I'm saying? Because there are a lot of kinks out there that I would not necessarily engage in. But, and, you know, I guess Marcus makes an argument for it kind of having an effect outside of the relationship or outside of the bedroom. So, you know, there's that piece there. Now, do you guys know anyone, or have you ever engaged in race play, or do you know anybody? Or has anybody tried it with you?
Okay. I will say this. Okay, so there was this one situation where I met this white guy at a bar here in New York, and it was on some like, it is what it is. Not some like, okay, we're going on a date, we're just gonna hook up. And we went back to his apartment. And he already gave me like sort of fetishization vibes. Like he was just like, oh, this nice, handsome black man. Like, can't wait to get in bed with you. And I was just like, But my body just felt so uncomfortable that I was like, I can't even like go there with you. I'm just pack up and leave. Cause like, even though he like, we're not about to do the whole race play thing, it was just his presence just screamed like, I want to like, you know, just attack your black body. I just want you like, to it. I'm like, bye, leaving. Like, no, just straight up weird vibes. It just, yeah. Like the ancestors was like, get out.
I hear that. But do y'all know anybody who had ever done that or was into that?
No.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I feel like you probably do, that they just don't tell you. That's my assumption.
That's fair. But for like my colleagues who are in sort of interracial things, I wouldn't say relationships, because there's some who are in relationships and there's some who just they like hooking up with white guys. But that might be a thing. So you're right.
Mm-hmm. If it is, they haven't told me because they know better.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I was like, you know better.
Look, don't tell any of us. Like, I remember I had a friend years ago who said he was kind of into that kind of thing. Black guy. Said he was kind of into that kind of thing. I definitely gave him the side eye for that, but I was just like, okay. He was just like, you know, you just want somebody to to like rough you up and like call you the N-word. It was just so, it was just so weird. And I was just like, no, I'm not into that. No, I'm good on that. Let me go to these comments real quick. LT Bilio is saying sex is good enough to not call someone the N-word and degrade them based on their race. Try something else. Focus says the challenge I have is that if they think they can do it with one, there are quite a few folks, especially in our melaninless friends, that love to assume they can do it with everyone they meet. Yeah, and that's a good point, because no, and please don't ask. You know what I'm saying? Like, because that's, you know, that we're not going down that road, basically. But yeah, I mean, I think that's basically all we have for you guys today. I think we had a good conversation. We are going to talk a little bit more in the after show. We're going to talk about the Gorgeois brunch that we had. There has been some kind of a conversation about cocaine. I want to figure that out.
Oh, Jesus.
I just want to figure out what that was about. And then there's another question that has been brought up about moving to another state. We're going to talk about that in Splitting the Bill. And I have left that link in the Discord. So if you want to join us, sign up for the Discord now and get that link. Sign up for Patreon and get that link in the Discord. Again, thank you, Ty McKinney, for joining us. Can you let everybody know where to find you online, please?
Yes. Thank you again for having me, guys. You can find me at Ty McKinney on all social media platforms. It's at TyMckinnie, just my name. And that's me everywhere.
Awesome. And again, I'm at Jared D. King. Marcus, why don't you let us know where they can find you?
You see me. Will you see me? And loose as a deuce.
Hopefully his social media isn't all shut down, because that's what he said he was trying to do in the beginning of the show.
It still may be. Who knows?
Oh, man. I hope we don't lose.
Hop in when you can.
Hop in when you can.
All right. Well, anyway, it's time for our little toast, everybody. So raise your glasses.
I still got stuff left.
And cups. So be careful what you say, because the boys will brunch. Take care.